Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dyphoria State podcast episode. I'll be honest, like, I listen to them, but I don't pay that much attention to the episode numbers. I'm Medic. I'm joined by these lovely gentlemen over here. And we're getting ready to break down the quarterfinals here at Worlds 2023. To kick us off, though, we have a great story from the train in to Busan.
It was a fun journey down.
Yeah, it was.
Down here to Busan. And so far, Busan has been amazing, by the way.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But we got on the bullet train, and Medic decided to switch seats with Dagda to start it off. He acts like then he's not a part of,
I wasn't a part
of the ensuing events.
I wasn't talking. I had my headphones on.
I literally took a picture after that of you talking to them. Yeah. I have photo evidence.
I didn't realize this is how this was going to go, Kobe, okay?
He actually
did. I love this. This is great.
But as soon as they sat down, Dagda and Flowers were already telling stories super, super loud. And then once Flowers starts telling stories about like his college days and his high school days and stuff, they immediately got shushed. It wasn't someone who worked with the train,
They had a badge and everything.
I thought it was some random person on the train, but came up and berated you too.
I mean, in my defense, I knew that you weren't supposed to talk in trains in Japan. I didn't know that that was the same in Korea. Or else I wouldn't have just.
I told Flowers.
So actually,
I thought, and that was on me. That would be enough.
It's kind of like the brunch incident where you've just assumed knowledge. We had a brunch the other day.
I don't think we need to go over the brunch incident.
Somehow forgot to invite 3/4 of the casting team. It was only Rob that was invited. I just showed up.
It was an implied invitation.
They're the best.
I thought I'm at home. I'm not in the hotel with everyone. So I told Rob, everyone is welcome. So I figured, being the nice guy that he is, he'll invite everyone.
If only there was like a group chat that could.
You are in the group chat as well.
I didn't know where we're going.
Some Game of Thrones stuff. I said
everyone is welcome. I thought you would then be like, hey, everyone, I'm going today. When I see the other people in the lobby, when we travel back in the shuttle, I think that's a reasonable assumption.
I don't really see most people, to be honest, because when we're going back and forth, it's kind of just immediately to your rooms and you're on separate ends of things.
Well, I thought you guys would be social. That's
You just want to isolate yourself.
And it's all right. We will forgive you, but we'll hold it over your head forever.
Understandable, right? Speaking of people that have been isolated or regions that have been isolated, let's talk about EU. It's been a few sad days for us as European fans, Rob. Spoilers, obviously, but why are you listening to the podcast if you haven't watched the games? There's no EU representatives left in the quarterfinals. First time since 2014 we haven't had a team make it through.
That's kind of heartbreaking. I mean, I think the fact that, well, look, NRG at the end of the day were the better team when we got into it. Like, Contracts and Palafox played insane. But to see how poorly G2 played in that series, I was just like, this is kind of heartbreaking. A game that was kind of heartbreaking. And then moving into the Weibo one, I think the game 2 kind of gave us the false hope. And then in game 3, there was like a stat that popped up. And fair juice to Mickey. But it was like, Mickey on Bard had the most damage out of everyone on G2. And I was like, it's over.
Losing to BLG. Yeah, and Fnatic that lost to Weibo. But yeah, both of them, pretty tough games. Yeah. The second game in the BLG series was pretty heartbreaking.
Second game in the BLG series was, again, one of the most entertaining games.
Oh, 100%.
For all the faults. I also feel like it's worse, as someone who's lost a lot of, you know, 3-2 matches over the last couple of years, when it's so close, but not enough. I feel like for your mental, it's better if you just get swept 2-1. You're like, well, we couldn't have made this happen.
No, you got to dare to dream, or else what? What's the point? What do you mean it's better to have no fight and just be pumped?
Dream beforehand. And
I'm
then
talking
you go,
during
it's like
the series.
Gen G, right? We dreamed that maybe we could take down Gen G, or G2 did, and then obviously they lost that. And then I kind of dreamed a little bit that they beat NRG. Going to be honest here, G2 were the favorites,
and then we lost that.
And then they lose to BLG, and we went from like 2-0 to 2-3, and it was truly heartbreaking. Obviously,
one of my favorite moments of the whole tournament, one of the best plays of the whole tournament, came from that series when G2 had the lead early, but then they're losing it so much that they have to have caps like baiting in the bottom lane. Yeah. To draw them in, so the entire team starts running towards him, and then Mickey's been waiting up here on Lissandra forever to come in with this game-saving, series-saving flank and have one of these huge plays. Like, you would rather just be knocked out 2-0, lights out, than have that. I feel like that That was amazing. No. That was one of the best.
I mean, but
emotionally, it is. Yes, less
that's all I'm saying.
To just lose,
and I because and I can say this because I watched you guys watch the series. Right, I was looking. I was like, ooh.
I didn't want also, that pain for them.
Yeah,
because everyone was like, oh yeah, we'll get back. We'll go out for dinner. We'll have a good time, and everyone was just like, I'm going to bed.
I also think that for me, that series had one of the most hilarious moments of the tournament because it was so dead on in the delivery, and Elk just like having an insane game and just walking into caps and dying, and then because of that we even go to a game three in the first place. I feel like Elk in particular like cleaned up his act so much throughout this year, which made it extra funny. He's just like, he walks into Nico and dies.
It's sad there's no more Joe Mung madness left. That was like my favorite part of that player.
Elk gets very few resources and still has the most damage per minute of the entire tournament right now by a large margin, by the way. He's 781. The next highest was Deft with 699. Like, that is a giant jump. He also has the highest damage percentage of anyone at the, like, it's crazy. And his support is always gone, roaming around, you know, making plays top lane and everything. And he still just does so much damage because he's always this like frontline AD carry, you know, and always making plays.
Deft
like
could have been at the same DPM if he hit any of his Ziggs Qs. That would have been absolutely insane.
If his Aphelios ultimate had hit. Yeah. If his, oh my.
Okay, I'm still recovering, okay, from the fact that I had to have two of my teams knock each other out. And it was a really sad series as well, because I really liked that D-plus roster. But they were just not good all year. So it is a very fitting ending to their chances of making quarterfinals as well.
Yeah, I think there's an extra degree of pain there because Canyon and Showmaker is very likely the last game they'll play together after having been so storied for so long, winning a world championship, right? It's a little bit like the T1 roster as well.
They just hit their mark of 100 games
together,
well,
internationally.
Only
together.
And then there was also the fact that Deft was the last representative of last year's world championship winners, right? Like, because obviously,
Barrow was on stage, so
and that was actually, that was probably one of my favorite moments. That was hilarious. I really liked that they fully lean into the memes.
I did like it, but I kind of missed our ref picking.
Yes, the stone face,
the stone cold
executioner for.
He's like the head LCK ref, I believe, and he's been picking banger picks for us all tournament long. I think maybe that's why they decided to replace him. KT was like, can we switch something up? And Barrels still gives them JDG as a banger. Like, what? They even changed the person pulling them.
It's like they because just to put in perspective. So the Chen's first 1-3. 1-3 didn't get picked of the bottom pool, right? Yep. Like to go against one. So you have a 1-3, which is not too bad that you get a good matchup. They didn't. They hit the 60-60, or 66 rather. But then also, KT actually were mega favorite against Gen G. They never played in playoffs, right? But domestically throughout summer, like, KT was really good against them. But then they also lose the 50-50, which is just perfect. And then they drew out JDG instead. Because I actually think if they were to go up against Gen G, that would be viewed as a very different series.
You think, would they be favorites?
They shouldn't be favorites because the level of play that they've shown is still worse. But I do think that it feels like there's a lot more reasonable argument to be made as to why KT would win that series.
Much more of a 60-40 than the 80-20 that probably JDG.
Hey, I think
the
pick'ems are like 95-5,
which
is right where KT wants them.
No one is excited for them anymore.
No,
I forgot to do my pick'ems and I got Mad Lions as going undefeated in groups. And that has backfired massively.
Shocker.
The coin has betrayed you entirely.
NA ruined you again.
Look, there's been a lot of good NA things at this Worlds, and I don't want to take away from them, but I don't think Mad Lions collapsing is specifically an NA doing in the Swiss stage. I think perhaps internally they've messed themselves up.
No,
a little
they said
bit.
Nah a lot.
true. They were smiling too much on the stage. But I do want to come around to NRG and the fact that they have made quarterfinals. We would talk about their matchup later on, but Kobe, you just, you know, take a moment to revel in it. It's incredible.
This is the best team I think that this could have happened to, because this team is comprised of players who have had very long journeys. None of these players is a star player from the beginning. All of them have had to drop down in various levels of professional play and work their way back up. FBI had his whole freaking region dissolved, and had, and he was the first ever OSH, you know, import over to North America. He played in North. He's played in North America for 4.5 years, almost 5 years. Ignar, of course, bouncing around multiple regions, has also now been in North America for over 4 years. Then the top triangle that we've talked so much about have had this journey where they've been demoted all the way to amateur in Dokla's case, to academy in Contract's place. Pal Fox had another 3 years in academy as well. They have worked so hard, so many years to be able to get to this point and are making it as like the quintessential underdog team. This team was massive underdog team just in the LCS. And now they're on the world stage, Omega underdogs, and they're doing what very few other North American teams have been able to do. It was back, it was 2014 was the last time that a non-C9 North American team made it to quarterfinals. And I am just so proud of these players because I know them super well personally, and they have had such hard times and at many points considered giving up. And in talking to multiple of these players, a lot of them, even Contracts was like really, really close, but he doubled down, really wanted to prove it himself in academy and work his way back to the international stage. And after 6 years for him to be back here and to almost play the perfect series versus G2.
Yeah.
I even felt bad for G2. I was like, Contracts, like, there's almost nothing better that he could do. He was just destroying people all over. I was blown away.
And I think like that's the thing that makes it even more special is how well they've played. Because you like there are some people or some teams that have made it to like semifinals and people look back at it and like, you know, like I think H2K is a great example when they made it through Albus Nox. Yes, of course they played well to make it there, but you look at it and there's a bit of an asterisk there if you know the history of how they made it there. But for NRG, like G2 underperformed in terms of expectations, but the performance of NRG versus G2 was a mid-jungle performance that was world-class, top-class from Paolo Fox and Contracts.
Yeah, there were no lucky plays. It wasn't like, oh, it's such a messy game, and there's a Baron flip, and there's a blah, 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 and people were like, oh, both teams sucked, and you lucked into it. No, it was domination, and it was really controlled. I think that's the best part, is that it was actual good play, and it's been so long since, you know, watching our teams internationally, and when I felt like they made very few mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But Energy made very few mistakes in this series. And their hold on the draft was also exceptional. That's become very apparent that it's super important in this meta right now. So they started themselves out with a whole bunch of coaches and to be able to have a really good footing in the game and then to play well in the game too was just super rewarding for them. I know.
But I think if they're able to play like that, like they could beat Weibo. Like sure. when they, if they actually have to play the way they did against G2, like that was absolutely insane. And as you say, when they come into draft, like having a bunch of extra stuff they're able to bring out like the Senna, like this is now a matchup that I'm really excited for. Because yes, LPL got four teams into playoffs, right? But every single time, everyone is kind of like, look, one of them has to blow up. One of them has to go wonky. And like, if NRG are playing like they are, it feels like they could beat Weibo.
A lot of people were calling G2 LPL's fifth seed. Coming into the world, so I think that's probably where the explosions happened, right? But yeah, let's move on to talking about the quarterfinals. I want to talk about your MVPs of Worlds so far later, so we can just reorder that in
You're
my
in
head.
Charge, right? Mr.
Yeah,
Bus Driver.
I'm not used to being in charge. I did a Medivedi podcast pilot, and I was in charge too much, is what I realized. We spent 20 minutes talking about how I dislike the fact that Germans call the bread you use for toast, toast before it's toasted.
That sounds like peak content.
It is peak content. It was amazing, but we're meant to actually learn stuff about our guests, and spending a third of the podcast with me just complaining about bread isn't the best way to do it.
I heard that immediately got scrapped because you guys...
Okay, people have been calling for it for ages.
So people want it back, okay, Kobe?
No, I mean the first episode, just the first episode.
Yeah, it did. People watched it and said, yeah, we need to redo this because it wasn't the best.
You got it.
Less Medi, less Vedi, and a bit more learning about our guests. Anyway, let's talk about the quarterfinals. Should we start off at the start? NRG versus Weibo. Who wants to kick us off?
I mean, well, I feel like we just did kick it off, since we were just talking about both these teams in Swiss stage. For sure, NRG are still massive underdogs, but I 100% have that belief in NRG. And I'm really happy that they are also confident. they've been talking about so much. They have had 20% win rate at the beginning, 10% win rate in scrims now. But they've really embraced and started talking about how they're an on-stage team in contrast to all these teams that are like scrim teams or whatever. And so they go into it with a lot of hope and a lot of confidence anyway.
I also don't think they should be that much of an underdog. Like, I feel like it should be Weibo favorite, but it feels like 65-35. I don't think it's that lopsided, right? If you look at the way that Weibo, to me, similar to D+, although I do think that Weibo was marginally better, is very much a fourth seed that has a lot of flaws. And obviously, even with some help from Weibo, G2 was able to actually take them down. And given the fact that Weibo, even domestically, have been wildly inconsistent, I think there's good angles. If they can maintain the level of play that they had
I 100% agree. I think the angle comes from, like, they have two world champions on their team. They have a lot of accolades for these Weibo players. So it's intimidating.
Yeah.
But that was kind of my point, is like the energy players are not intimidated. No. Palafox has always had this nameplates are overrated, even back talking about individual LCS stars like Jensen and stuff like that. And Palafox has really been trying to push forward the kind of next generation of LCS players. And so they're going into it fearless, despite all the achievements of the individual players that they're playing.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see how mid jungle plays out, because I think Xiaohu has looked very weak at times.
Which is weird, right?
Yeah, it's incredibly weird, because he was one of the main reasons that Weibo actually made it here. Yeah, like, he played so well in the regional gauntlet against EDG, against Top. But I think if you can focus him down, he's been a key point of weakness for Weibo. But then Weiwei at times looks really bad, but as series develops, he seems to look a lot better, because the team plays vision control around him really well, and he tracks the enemy jungler really well. It's what we saw in the Fnatic series. Like, Razork ran the map game one, was getting ahead game two, but then the entirety of Weibo just kept tracks on the enemy jungler for game three, and it made it basically impossible for Razork to actually have an impact. So that's one thing I'm a little bit worried about for NRG, is Contracts is so much of a catalyst for this team in the early game. Mm-hmm. If he is tracked by Weiwei and by Weibo, can NRG find another string to their bow? And I don't know if in the LCS they have been able to find other ways of winning the game rather than just Contracts being the man leading the charge.
Yeah, they definitely have. Like, they have other carries. FBI has carried late game fights. Palafox has also been instrumental in snowballing. They also used to do a lot of Dokla on carries and 1-3-1 comps, split pushing, that type of stuff. I don't think that is really the angle to go here versus the Shy, but we'll see. Dokla said, "I'm not playing Ornn this game," so it's pretty funny. They're all embracing, like, you know, they learned their lesson from the previous matchup, which also is another reason why, like, coming into this, you know, Weibo are definitely favored, because they won.
Yeah, they stomped
the previous matchup.
Yeah,
but I think specifically on how Weiwei has been super successful, it has been mostly the best games when he's going bottom to dive. Yeah. When they play with a pushing bottom lane and they set up waves and he comes down and dives bottom lane, like, those are the hardest games to control. So that's definitely going to be something on NRG's mind, both in draft and early parts of the game, I feel like.
Yeah, because that's actually the one part where I was really impressed with Weibo, was their pivot towards Lux Caitlyn and actually punishing, playing for a punching bot lane. And I think it plays into the style that actually in this tournament meta seems to work well for them.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, though, is that, like, with Xiaohu underperforming, it feels way less likely that they're actually able to do it. And, like, one of the things that I was looking there at Xiaohu, I was always kind of looking at, hey, he plays a lot of Annie, that's gone out of the meta, right? And could have impact on sides if he was able to get control there. Same when you look towards things like the Tristan, he was like, cool, I can push, but I got a lot of safety. And it feels like if he doesn't have the Azir at the moment, he's just kind of like, well, I'm trying to push my lanes to try and get the setup that I need for Weiwei, but I'm on an Orianna. So suddenly there's people in my lane, I'm dying, I'm not having that same success. And I think that's why that mid jungle is struggling a little bit. And I think why Weiwei hasn't been as, like, I think he still looked good at times, but I think he is struggling a little bit as well to actually have that impact where he's like, oh, I'm going to three camp into a bot gank and kill you every single time. It just doesn't feel like that structure is as well there for Weibo anymore.
That makes perfect sense. I think top lane as well is going to be very explosive. As you said, Dokla said he's not going to play Ornn, and the Shy, he tends to shy away from the Ornn as well. But I do think the Shy's been a little bit more muted so far at this Worlds. Maybe it's just he hasn't had the opportunity to pop off as much as he had. And maybe also I just get flashbacks to him destroying G2 over and over again. So I'm looking for those big moments from him. And if he can step up to the level that you kind of expect from him at international competitions, that might be another point that NRG have to deal with. Let's move on to the second quarterfinal, assuming no one else has any more.
You're the bus driver. You don't have to.
I'm the bus driver.
You can drive us wherever you want.
We're following you, man.
He sometimes needs to know where your stop is, though. You know,
right? You only paid for the first half of this ride. You better get off. What's the EU teams? Gen G versus BLG on day two. It's gonna be a banger. I think it's really interesting to me because we haven't seen both Gen G and JDG in quite a while. It feels like we also haven't really seen them tested as much as some of the other teams because they haven't had to battle through those close games in like elimination games.
Because they aced all the earlier tests. They didn't even have to take.
Yeah, exactly. Right? They just skipped
they didn't
the
have
year
to take
of
this one. They're like, you have straight A's. So actually, if you don't take this one, you're still passing the class.
Yeah. But it's strange to me because I'm so used to seeing like the best teams play just before the quarterfinals. And now I'm like, Genji did play, but that was 5 days ago, days ago.
I like it this way, so we don't have to see them like beating up on teams that are about to get eliminated anyways. It's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, I think that this is really interesting because I feel like the situation in which we get into this match is not dissimilar to what it was at MSI, which is why I'm worried. Because I think that looking at just the tape, looking at the tape for Genji, right, versus BLG, I think Genji should be very clear favorites. Mm-hmm. I think that they've looked extremely clean. They have had to barely give anything away in drafts because of the fact that they're 3-0. And they are, as we know, a really versatile team. And they also have, I think, the best support at the tournament, barring maybe missing. I think that Delight is just like, he is so good. And he single-handedly shifted the entire playoffs meta of the LCK as well by the way that he played Alistar, which before that wasn't really back in the meta in the LCK. And I think that Chovy's performing well, Peanut's performing well, right? So they're firing on all cylinders, but it's also important to revisit at MSI, even though I think that back then BLG played still messy, but cleaner. No one expected BLG to win, and then they 3-0'd them. And I think that that was partially, you know, Genji, like Peanut and Chovy have an issue. I think Peanut more so than Chovy, but that's a whole separate topic, has an issue with underperforming in high-pressure international scenarios specifically. And then BLG also having an incredible run. That would be why I would be a little bit worried going into this. Even though, in like looking at it objectively, I feel like Genji should be the heavy favorite.
Yeah, I think like being the ex-LPL guy, I'd love to come up into this like all gusto and bravado going like, it's another 3-0, it's easy. But like, I think looking at that T1 series is the one that like really put doubts in my head that BLG are at the level that they were for MSI, because T1 just ran that game entirely and there was just nothing that BLG could do about it. And even when I was looking at the KT game, which was the first one that they played, I listened to a lot of people who were like, this was a sick series, this looked absolutely insane, it was a banger. I was like, both these teams are terrible. I was like, this game was awful. Like, I saw a bunch of mistakes on either side. Nobody really looked convincing coming through from that. So I don't feel like BLG kind of had that convincing run that we got to see a little bit of MSI, where it's like, oh, it's still, as you say, messy, but BLG still look like they're in control. I'm looking at these games going like, a lot of these could have been a toss-up and T1 stomped them. So I'm just not as convinced.
I feel like BLG in control is that Twitch emote, the Monka steer.
Yeah, they're like,
we're in control!
Like, they are.
Like, this is what control looks like. And I, you know, to that point, this is one of my favorite teams when we get to international because of their unique style where, you know, you have Bin, who is the most unique top laner in the world, I feel like, and exceptional at what he does, and a master of his craft of playing these carries, plus Kusante, in the top lane. And him and Elk, even though BLG have shown a lot of these mistakes that you're pointing out, he and Elk have still had some of the most pop-off games of, like, any individual players. So, and I'm always drawn to stories of individual, you know, like God mode hype type of players and stories. And I feel like especially those two carries really encapsulate that. So I'd say you should come into it anyways as LPL. Just be like, 3-0 again. Bin said it last time. He said it again. He said he's the best top player in the world. He's going to prove it again. Doran is his son. so, like, him and Elk were how they 3-0'd him at MSI. And so I'm super looking forward to it. I'm going to get on that BLG hype train ahead of time.
Okay.
I say good luck. I do think you should be favored in it coming into it. But this is like the wild bunch BLG.
Coming to
upset your plans, you know?
And again, it's also, I actually think that Doran's had a really good tournament so far, but I've seen Gen G specifically go from the way that they look domestically, plus the way that they looked in, I think, their free games as well that we saw them play, even though their opponents were not necessarily the highest level outside of T1, right? Because they were able to dispatch of G2 really handily.
Yeah.
And I think there were much tougher draws in that 2-0 group. But outside of that, given that they keep playing the way that they have, I think that Gen G should be completely fine. Because I think that the fact that they haven't had to give anything away, the fact that Chovy and Peanut both seem to be really comfortable, because I actually think that even though individually, as you're saying, the Shun, you know, spam ganking bot lane plus Bin being way better than Doran, I think those, specifically Bin being a better player than Doran, I think still holds true, even though Doran has had a good tournament. But I do think that also stood by the fact that Peanut just had zero impact in that game, right? Like the fact that Shun was able to dive Pazin the Light on the exact same wave three games in a row, I don't think is going to happen again. And if it does, then it'll probably be the exact same series.
I think at that stage, LPL got out a bit of a better meta read in MSI, where it was like, oh, we're going to play Lulu so we can set up for those dives. And there wasn't really a huge amount of teams. Like LCK eventually adapted to it. Well, tried to, but I think LPL kind of had a read on it at that stage. Whereas I think coming into this, I don't feel like everyone has shown their hand, but I think it's a much more even footing coming in on how that works. And I think that's where, I don't know if Bilibili would just have that leg up that they did coming into that series at MSI.
Yeah, I think BLG have the chaos, Gen G have the cleanliness, right? Like, Gen G look like the better team, but BLG have shown us already at this tournament and just over the course of BLG that sometimes you're 5k up and you make one mistake and then they win a team fight, they take the Baron, and the game starts devolving from there, right? I do think there's a little bit of a mismatch in support. On is very good, but I just think, as you say, Delight is the best support in the tournament. Like, his ability to gain vision, his ability to win lane on matchups you really shouldn't win lane on, and his roaming potential is just absurd to me.
I think the thing is that when On has a day, he is phenomenal. That guy's mechanics are insane. He can have these moments where he will win you the game hands down. Yep. So I think it really is going to be a case of like what On shows up. Like, is it on or off? Like,
and I think it will be LG be on or off as well, right? Because on their day, I think they can beat Gen G. But if I'm taking any of the other 365 days in the year, I'm picking Gen G.
Yeah. Right. So what day was the MSI?
I'll get it up in a second. Yeah, here we go.
that could be a really good tie through because this is going to be an exciting one.
I'm looking this up now, so I can't. Yeah. You have.
I mean, I think we can just move on.
Bus driver's busy. Come on.
I think we can move on.
It's like
to JDG
speed.
KT,
we just keep going at the same speed the whole time. We can move on.
And I personally, I'm sorry, man, but like JDG are gonna,
Wait, it's KT.
That series that we watched together where we were on the desk was the most frustrating one, the last KT series. Because I was just like, there is no way that D plus Kia are going to be able to lose this. There's just no way. Like, they have great setup.
Was that the Dragon Soul one?
Yeah. I was like, they're in perfect control. It's going to be totally fine. And the entire time, I mean from like 10 minutes into the game, Mel was just like, they're going to come up to a random fight and somehow KT are going to win. And then they're going to do that. And I was just like, no, there's no way. Like, they've got this. They've got all these options.
Like,
there's no way that they're going to do it. It's like, no, it is going to happen. And then 30 minutes later, randomly, there's a team fight where KT get it. And they just look at me. I was like, it was always going to be the way.
So I'll be very upfront. I think that KT are a team that has a lot of you know, like history and memes and whatnot around them. But very front up, I don't think their meta read is that good. And I think that specifically Keen still has not been able to play the way that he has throughout the entirety of the reg. Like, I really want to reiterate, if you didn't watch a lot of LCK, I don't think that for a lot of other members of KT, the first All-Pro was justified. For Keen, though, it was literally the only choice. Like, and I think that Doran and Zeus right now are both way better, but there was zero way you could pick anyone but Keen. Like, he was single-handedly winning games. He was warping entire games around him. And I think at Worlds, he just hasn't been good. Like, he just hasn't been that impressive. And if you do that and you have amazing team fighting, which I think to all of, you know, Doran's weaknesses, that is something that he has always been very good at. But for Keen, it's not like his team fighting has been the draw for this player ever.
Well, it's good that his opponent, 369, it's not really that good at team fighting.
Yeah, right? Well, that's exactly what I'm leading into, right? I do think, and this is the one edge that I think that you could possibly attribute, is specifically jungle. I don't think Kanavi's had the best tournament yet.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And I do actually think that Cuz can run an early game against JDG.
The early games he's got unlocked.
He's pretty impressive. Yeah. And I think, like, will that be enough in like 95% of cases when this series is played? No. But if KT do win, it will be like Cuz popping off early, aiming for some reason, getting Zeri and Kai'Sa like three games in a row.
And not pressing E and into the entire enemy team.
But I'll tell you, he'll do that anyway, but they'll win somehow. Because I think that KT have still not really shown the regular season form that this team was capable of. Mm-hmm. I don't think we will see it. I just think, unfortunately, that's the way it kind of works for this org.
It's also, I'm just kind of curious to see how it ends up panning out, because we haven't seen JDG in so long, right?
Yeah.
Like, is it actually going to be a benefit that you've had a bit of time off, or is it now going to be a case of, hey, we've kind of just been sitting back, we've been practicing the same stuff, and now you're starting to see that shift, and you're like, oh, hang on a second, we actually haven't been ready for this. So I think it'd be really interesting to see what they come in with off the back of that.
I think a lot of the times, if you have a lot of dark days like that and you're not on stage, it can hurt you if you're a lower ranked team. But because our best two teams, Gen.G and JDG, were the ones on the dark dice, and everyone's like, can we please scrim you?
Yeah.
can we have a crumb of info? I kind of lean towards the side of, like, maybe it is an advantage, because these players also are very used to stage games, so there's probably not a factor of, you know, needing to be comfortable on the stage. And we did just move, so...
Do you think Kanavi learned how to play Jarvan?
Yes.
He's had a week, man. He can do it.
Just watch some contract faults.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Honestly, not wrong.
No.
Contracts.
That's what Owner did, and then his last couple of Jarvan games were really good. Yeah.
Take notes.
Yeah, I mean, it's been... it's going to be a very interesting series. I think the support that I love talking about supports, as you can tell, because, you know, support me. I think Lehen's actually been underperforming in my eyes. Generally, I look at him as possibly world-class, and I think he's been a step below that so far. He's still playing very well, but...
It's a step up from playoffs, Lehen's, where he legitimately, died level one, three games in a row. But compared to regular season, absolutely. Yeah, I would agree.
And missing... I think is up there with the light. So in terms of vision control and working with their junglers, I'd probably give it to JDG.
I think it's also the fact that you can see both styles coming up from him. It's not just like, oh, we're going to play engage. It's like, oh, well, I've got the Lulu. They also brought out the Renata. Like, it feels like you've got multiple different styles with this team. Even looking at Knight as well, bringing out the Vex. It doesn't feel like we've seen everything with JDG. And we talk about meta. I do want to bring up a combo that I have noticed a little bit for JDG, but I'll save that a little tidbit for later.
Well, we're talking about JDG now.
Meta. Do you want meta or
you can talk about it here. It's
so I actually think... So Kanavi used to play a lot of Shaco and actually brought it out in competitive games as well. I've looked at his solo queue. He's actually been practicing a ton of Shaco when those buffs come through. I think we're going to get that Orianna Shaco combo in competitive, and I think it's going to be JDG who bring it out. I wish it would be so sick to see.
I would love that. That's the first champion I ever made. I love Shaco. That would be crazy.
Because for anyone who doesn't know, when the ball is on Shaco, you can't see the ball.
Yeah.
So Shaco just goes over a wall, runs into the middle of
a submarine.
Yeah. And then you just pop Orianna ult and everything.
That's what we need. Shaco, Twitch, Orianna, Shen, and then one other invisible champion. What support? Pike.
Yeah.
Then you just have the multi-man invisible wombo combo.
Man, that would be crazy. If we get Shaco at Worlds,
it would be so cool.
We'll check with stats, but I'm pretty sure there's zero Shaco ever at Worlds.
Has there never been like support Shaco?
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
To add to that, I think that KT, at their best domestically, were a team that was actually pretty versatile. But I think they've kind of gone back inside of their box, and it is aiming. There's like two or three picks that he needs to be on.
BDD had that interview where he was like, mid lane champs are so boring, we pick the same thing every time. So,
but I mean, that is also that's BDD like punching himself and then complaining. That man loves luck in his ear. Like, I think BDD actually does have a deep champion pool, even though we haven't seen that much of it. I think that there's plenty of champions that he can play, But Kuz, to me, isn't the same player if he's not playing specifically Viega or Sejuani. As good as I think he is and as underrated as I think he is, just for like how the team functions, I think Lahens is relying on Nautilus, right? So I think that I would be not surprised at all if KT like grabs a game. I think that these players are good enough that they should be able to. But actually taking the series would require like some really different level than what we've seen them thus far. And they showed it domestically, but that is also at this point like 2 months ago.
Does the game that they take rely on like a draft of getting BDD Azir and aiming Zeri or something?
Not specifically those, but some level of comfort. Yeah, I think the team is a cut above when they get, specifically when aiming gets his comfort champions. And I think that there will probably be a draft that shakes out the way that he gets away with something of the sorts.
I really hope we get treated to Knight Sylas at some stage during this tournament, because it is godlike. It is absolutely insane what he's capable of doing with that champion. I'm so excited for it.
And the Syndra, baby.
Yeah. I mean, just Knight generally. It's just an incredible player, right? So, I will say, we have had one shakeup at Worlds before. According to Game of Legends, Steel played it against T1
in 2021. That wasn't even that long ago, right?
No, 2021. Yeah. I mean, it's 2 years.
That was the same combo as well, right?
I can't see. I can have a look, but I feel like you're now making me click more buttons. And that's okay.
Well, I feel like I remember people talking about it back then as well. He won't kick me off the bus. He's nice.
it was Zoe. So, Shaco Zoe against Orianna Kiana. Unsurprisingly, T1 won. It did take them 27 minutes. So yeah. Shaco Zoe, better than Mad Lions.
And the Shaco was 0-4, so great pick.
We'll see if we see it at Worlds, guys. Okay, so last quarterfinal. Probably the closest in terms of looking at it purely on paper. LNG T1. I think that's a very close quarterfinal. Obviously, LNG, third seed from LPL. A lot of people think basically second seed from LPL, better than BLG all round. I think we saw T1 really falter at the start of this Worlds as well against TL. And then even in some of their next games, but obviously in their last series against BLG, they looked absolutely phenomenal. And Kerry as Bard as well, just absolutely on point. So what are our thoughts coming into that quarterfinal? It is the last one as well. So they do still have 5 days before they play it.
I mean, Owner really stepped up, especially, I feel like, because it was such a weird year for T1 with Faker leaving and all them playing so much more poorly during the regular season.
Except Zeus. He was trying really
hard. Everyone else. He was trying to pull them all along. But really good to see, like, you know, Carrier playing good again and now Owner playing really good again. So it's T1, man. As much as I was initially like, oh, I'll probably favor LNG. This T1 team is going to be so many finals with this lineup.
Their win rate.
They've never won them, but they always get there.
Yeah, except to MSI, obviously.
Yeah, but they always get there, right? So I feel like they can still do it.
Are you just going on the fact it's T1? Because I understand the argument. They make it to every final pretty much, right?
Like, the shown improvement in play, though.
Yeah, I get that.
Because Ono was probably the one that was lagging behind the most still after Faker coming back. So
I think if the thing for me with LNG is, like, I feel like we haven't actually seen LNG really put all their effort in yet. Like, I think that if you're looking at a team but I think if you're looking at a team that has the most things that they've left to bring out, I think it's LNG. Like, Gala and Jakulov, two of the best six players that we have in the LPL. You look towards Scout, I feel like this is Scout's, like, everything that you, and even, sorry, for Gala as well, like, everything you could possibly want from a meta for these two guys is there. Like, Kai'Sa, Zaya for Gala have always been massive picks. We have the Ziggs. Scout, I mean, Azir, great. You look at, like, the Akalis and the Silas is starting to come back in. He's always performed incredibly well on them, apart from, well, the one game we don't talk about. And then even Tarzan, like, he's always had such a deep champion pool. The fact you're able to see him now going, oh, well, Wukong's really strong. Cool, I'll just bring this out onto the stage as well and start bringing that up. It feels like everyone on this squad has kind of got this opportunity now to shine with the meta sinking him towards them. I think the only big question mark for me, and, like, we heard Emily was chatting about it earlier on, is, like, hung in the bot lane. It's like, this guy can massively end games sometimes, but also that aggression comes back to win some of those games. So I think if they go up against a team, well, against, like, T1, where you've Carrier versus Hung, I think that's the moment where you have to try and strike on that bot lane, like, try and punish Hung and see if you can take the game from there.
I think in performance thus far, I'd rate T1 over LNG in every role but mid, but I also think that's the biggest mismatch because I think that Faker has just been there, right? And like, obviously we know what he does for the team, but like in a pure 1v1 perspective, I think Scout has obviously been absolutely incredible, both with the run he already made to get there in the first place, plus just his play over the last couple of months. The one thing that I'm most worried about for T1's perspective, because again, I think in level of play, I think Owner has actually looked better than Tarzan thus far. Zeus has just been good all year. So until we get to finals, I'm sure he will be amazing. and he did actually, this is really cool. He actually got coached by Khan specifically for Asia Games. So I don't really rate Asia Games as a way to gauge player strength for obvious reasons, but I do think that is really cool. My main worry going in though is that I think that if Owner gets put off Jarvan, I don't know how good T1 is going to look. And I think that if Owner isn't able to get the better hand of Tarzan and T1 doesn't get to set their pace, that's when they really quickly start to fall apart. Because this isn't like Gen G, where if they're like 5k gold down, I'm like, it's fine.
That's LNG, right?
You're like, if LNG can have their pace, they should be.
If this game is slow, you're like, whoa.
Yeah,
LNG is for sure gonna.
The one thing that shifted me a little bit more towards T1 was that in the second game of the BLG series, T1 actually didn't have a lead, and they were able to out team fight like straight up BLG. And I think BGL didn't look that good on that day, but I do think that if Carrier is allowed to play Kench, which wouldn't be surprised me if that's something that LNG is going to focus. I was very pleasantly surprised because they haven't team fought like that, just for perspective, since spring domestic. Actually, I guess their series against JDG was still good. They team fought well during MSI up until that point. So I do think that given that plus the performance of T1 in best of fives in general over the last 2 years, I really trust them. But I am worried about Owner because I do think that if his, you know,
he could easily regress.
Well, that's my point. And if Owner regresses, this team is infinitely worse because that's what we saw domestically, right? Like he was not able to really match, and his playoffs was fine. He was able to kind of pull it together, but I think that he was really instrumental in dismantling BLG. And I don't know if in a best of five he will be allowed to play Jarvan forever because they literally they B1 Jarvan for him just because he's so comfortable on it. So that'd be something that I would be worried about. And I also think that if LNG like get an early lead in the series, if it goes to five, record's not great for T1.
Yeah, that is true. I undervalue T1. I think
that's fair.
I think they really performed against BLG, but I also know BLG was struggling with some health issues that day. So I guess it's difficult for me to say that we have seen T1 pushed intensely so far, apart from the Gen G series, which they didn't look great in. They look good against C9. I really like their drafting against BLG as well. I think the composition to with the Tahm Kench is really strong. But apart from Tarzan, I think LNG are looking really good right now. And even Tarzan in their final game actually did look really good when he started to gain control of the game. I think it's our closest. Do you guys have a difference of opinion on that? Our closest quarterfinal, that is?
No, I'd agree.
I'd probably agree.
Yeah.
I would I'd actually put NRG way above if NRG are playing.
That's base.
I don't think that's close.
No, NRG, that's
NRG
base.
Just gonna 3-0, man. It's not close.
He's been on the same.
You just picked the first seed, right? NRG go through the semi-final.
But seriously, if they play the way they did against G2, I can see that being an incredibly close series.
I agree. If it's the same level they're playing as G2.
That's what I like to hear.
I mean, I'm very excited for this NRG lineup if they play like they have been doing. Yeah.
I definitely think they should be the big underdogs, though, especially because...
Is that because that's where they play better?
It's also the NRG way, the non-rational gamers, also the inherited CLG way. But
is this also the only series in which there isn't a team where their fans are purposefully going to say they're underdogs? Because I feel like both BLG have made the run earlier this year. Then you have KT fans, which we don't need to discuss. Yeah. And then NRG as well. Like, I think that's really funny. I feel like that's normally there's like one. Now we have three out of four quarterfinals. We have like, the fans are like, no. Actually, guys, we are not the favorites. Like, there's no way we're winning this.
Oh, that's amazing. Do we want to do predictions? We kind of did them along the way, but just quickly down the line, who's making it to quarterfinals, Chronicler? Semifinals, sorry.
I'm going to go with Gen G. I feel like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I can't trust Gen G, then my tournament's about to become a whole lot worse. So it's Energy Weibo.
Yep.
We should have done this after we did each match.
Yeah, we should have done, but I don't host podcasts.
We can go over.
Let's not, instead of doing all four, just do the
first. Yeah, do the first team. Gen G. Who are you, Kobe?
Gen G.
Yeah, Gen G as well. Okay, Energy Weibo.
You better say Weibo. I better be the only one saying energy. I'm saying energy.
No, but I actually think Rob was right. I think this actually is the closest one.
No way! See? No way!
No, you were under something.
They're devaluing their underdog status. What?
All right, so energy.
Weibo.
You can say whatever you want.
I'm going Weibo as well because Kobe knows what room I'm in. So.
You can say whatever you want.
JDGKT.
I have to go JDG.
Yeah.
For many reasons, but also because I generally think that that's the most lopsided matchup, and that one should be.
Yeah. This is a case of like, you better say JDG.
I'm not memeing here. Like JDG is, to me, JDG Gen G is still my dream finals, and I hope that that's what we get for like infinite narrative, like Chovy versus Knight finally, because they've still haven't played outside of Asia Games, which again isn't really real, right? So like that's insane to me. And then Ruler against his old team and Chovy versus Kanavi on Griffith.
Yeah.
So I think JDG is just a genuine answer. There's no like they should make it to finals. And then,
my answer is also JDG because my dream finals is Energy versus JDG.
JDG.
My dream finals was G2 JDG, but that's not going to happen anymore. So we'll go JDG.
Yeah, man.
Not Chovy
ever.
No.
What Chovy ever do?
We have to overcome the LPL. Yeah. You know, that's the whole story for you.
I mean, you have to prevent the Golden Road.
Yeah, exactly. Right at the last hurdle. Like G2 had their Golden Road prevented. Now we have to have them preventing. Yeah. Anyway,
that's poetic, actually.
Yeah, and then T1 LNG.
T1.
Okay.
Ooh, LNG.
I'm going LNG as well. I think. I think I might be undervaluing T1, but
they've been pretty up and down.
Yeah.
I really think this is the closest one. I'm going to go LNG too, though.
Wow, 3-1 LNG. So that would be three LPL teams making it through to the semifinals. Only Gen G would be upsetting
Africa. It's a strong region.
Surprisingly so.
It's a 2021 EDG angle. I like it. That sounds good to me. I'll sign up for that.
Yeah.
MSI was a little bit
that's MSI though. Very different tournament.
True.
Yep. Very true.
Completely different meta.
I mean, we did have Jinx of Felios for a while again.
Both bad.
all right. We have a few more minutes. Do we want to talk about our favorite moments of Worlds so far? We kind of hit a few of them.
This is a hard one for me. I guess I would go Energy versus G2. Wow.
Shock horror.
For all the reasons already stated.
Okay.
I just bought you guys some time. You got something now?
I need more.
I mean, even though we lost, the Mickey coming over the wall, hidden by the Nocturne ult, was just so sick to see. Actually, there was the two mechanics that I let you talk about. Your one, because you told me about it over coffee.
Oh, no, you can talk about it. I have my own moment. It's fine.
Okay, fair. The two moments in that series were the Mickey coming in over the wall with the Nocturne ult, and then, like, getting that flank, and the bait from Caps to be like, oh, no, I'm in so much trouble. And then it's like, everyone dogpaws onto Elk immediately and kills him. It was so sick. But also then the Caps Nico transform into the Cannon Minion. So then you don't get the ramping terror damage. You only take 14%. Like, you're able to tank. I think you tanked 4 shots. And then there was one that went on to Yike as he exited after getting the
kill. We're going to call that APA.
Well, he could have tanked like 6 more shots.
He
got bored. He was like, let me do something.
The reason I was passing on to Medic was Medic told me this over coffee on the first day arrived because APA tweeted out about how the mechanic worked.
A cool video about it.
NA will take credit for that.
I mean,
the
reason I know about it was because of APA, so he deserves the credit for it. My favorite moment was tuna dinner last night. We went to had delicious bluefin tuna. It was gorgeous. And I think it's always my favorite moment of Worlds, just getting to spend time with all the other casters.
We got to take a picture. The chef was so nice. There were only three other people in the entire restaurant. It was these three women sitting at the bar together.
We're also giggling because like
when we walked in, they literally like shouted. They were like, "Whoa!"
It was like shock.
A bunch of foreigners just walked in. What's going on?
And the five whole place, large. It was also like because if Sharks joined later, but like just the
five big guys.
Us and Azil, and we're all tall, right? So it was just like. It was just five giants suddenly in our tuna restaurant.
But they also started shouting advice at us, like, put the soju in the beer.
Came along and made mine for me because you could see I was struggling with the chopsticks. Oh, I got the wooden chopsticks of shame afterwards. But that's my favorite, like, Worlds moment. I think I actually have to go NRG getting through the quarterfinals as well. Like, it's very easy to be like, it sucks, you know, NA greater than EU, etc. But you guys deserve it. Like, you played incredibly well. I'm very, very
especially
happy
those players. I feel
yeah, exactly, right. Yeah, again, so if G2 had really underperformed, I'd be sad. But they played well, and NRG played better. So
I was really I was really happy for the NA colleagues because they've just I've seen them. I haven't worked in the industry that long, but I've seen them going through so much suffering over like just the last 3 years. So that's why I was really happy that NRG won it. My favorite moment individually was Lehens faking a dragon contest.
Oh, yeah.
That, because it's just like, it's also the perfect, I don't think he's at that great a tournament, but like, it's the perfect encapsulation of what makes Lehens such a fun player, where he's just like, so if you haven't seen this, I think this was against BLG. Did it still end up losing, right? But KT are like in the process of taking a Nash, and there's like a third dragon, I think, that BLG are taking. And then Lehens like takes the hex gate across after he like walked up to them, and they're like oh they are coming, like they are on their way. And then he just goes over the wall and like actually tanks and ignite as well with his shield, and then he just gets out. He's completely fine. They get the Baron, and then Lehens is just like cackling on the cams, which is also perfect for him.
It's a support mentality right there.
And then the fact that Chovy's actually playing well at an international, I just think this guy gets so much flack.
I want to bring it back a little bit to your to talk about the NRG thing for a sec, because one of the things we had was with Azale, because we were all watching the games together. All right, so the game ends and obviously Azale is chuffed, super happy, all right, but he's like tweeting away, chatting away, whatever it is. And then Medic turns to him and goes, you know, you can celebrate, like, it's okay to celebrate for your team. And this big grin just comes across his face, and he goes like, no, I'm just, it sucks for you guys, you know, it's like trying to cover up his smile. And then like 5 minutes later, like we say, hey, look, like I'm really happy for you. You can get, and like the same grin just spreads across his face. It's like, no, it's like, it's so hard for you guys. It's awful.
You guys tried really hard. You
played
really well. Good hustle out there.
I realized we forgot about the Nico play. Was it Chovy? They BDD. Went bot lane. BDD, BDD Nico play. That was probably my favorite moment.
I don't think KT's play level play has been that high, but I do think they've had some of the best individual moments of the tournament.
The Nautilus walks back, and then he comes around the corner as the Nautilus.
I was going to say, when Lehens said that, called BDD a coward, he was like, oh man, in his interview afterwards.
Shit-talking his own mid lane. Because especially the way he moved as well to really sell that he was just a Nautilus, like going about his business. Yeah. That was really, really cool.
And playing around Vision like that, always something that I enjoy seeing, because it kind of sucks sometimes that we don't see it as much, right? Because you don't see the fog of war on the spectator client unless we deliberately toggle it.
And LCK, and it's like, observers love toggling that,
which I love. Love the amount of toggling we have. Sometimes it goes on a little bit too long. They like toggle off the vision in a bush, and the guy's left 5 minutes ago, and you're like, is he still in the bush?
Yeah, it's an authentic League of Legends experience that they're giving you.
That's great. Okay, so I think we've kind of covered everything that we wanted to cover in this episode of the Dyphoria Pog State.
I'm confused. So on the Pog State, like, we're halfway there.
I mean, we've been going for about an hour. That's what I was told to hit.
But that's not.
We like retaining our viewers here. So we can talk about other stuff.
Or giving Ian a break? Like, he's earned it. I think I'm on board.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap up?
I actually,
Jim here is really nice. We did some bench.
Jim is really good. Yeah. I would recommend you to listen to Psychedelic Switch by Carter Jepsen. It's a really good song.
Walk the Moon. Shut Up and Dance by Walk the Moon. Really good song as well. It's going
to
be
I have to get it in there. I hadn't done it on previous podcasts and felt bad about it.
Really? Because I feel like that is one of your most talked about things at international events. There's always some Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah.
It's just really underrated. It's great pop music.
Anything else?
That's it.
No, thanks for watching. I'll see you next time.